Brother Martin, it's good to see all of you out here tonight. How many are glad you're here? Say amen.
Amen.
Many you'd rather be here in the best jail they got in town. Say amen.
Amen.
I've been with them doors closing behind you, and it ain't no fun. I'll tell you that right now. I'm glad to be saved tonight. I'm glad to know, as the lady sung, there is one who does care for you and I. When troubles come, it seems like he comes and gets closer than he's ever been before. I'm glad for that. Appreciate all of you that have come tonight, a lot of visitors that have come. I trust that you'll not go away disappointed. And if you come looking for the Lord to do something for you, you won't go disappointed. If you come looking for me, you may go out of the door sad because I may not be able to do it. But I believe that the Lord can meet your needs tonight. I believe he'll give you a blessing if you come seeking one tonight. I ask you to continue to be much in prayer for the meetings. Pray that the Lord would give me the message that he wants me to preach each night. And pray that we'd have the people to come and be here for the service. Pray that the Lord would bring some lost people out who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. And pray that we who are saved might really get something from the Word of God that would make us a better Christian and help us to live better for Him. Now tonight I want you to take your Bibles and open to three different places. Numbers chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 19, and Jonah chapter 4. Numbers chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 19, and Jonah chapter 4. Numbers 11, 1 Kings 19, and Jonah chapter 4. Now tonight we want to look at three of the greatest men that are found in the Bible, and three of these greater men at a time of not so much greatness in their life, and look at something that came to each one of them and kind of got the victory over each one of them in their life, and look at something that has troubled Christians since time began, and I guess will trouble them until the day when the Lord comes back again. Numbers chapter 11, and we'll begin to read in verse 10. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Now notice what he says in verse 15. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight. Come to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll begin to read in verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the God do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Now notice verse 4, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. All right, Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. I hope you're following along. I know there's more Bible than some of you read in a week, but try to bear with us, and you'll be coming along all right in a while. Jonah chapter 4, and we'll begin to read in verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I call your attention to verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we begin the message tonight. Now, Father, we're thankful tonight for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, for what He means to us and what He's done for us in this life. Father, we're thankful for the way that You've blessed us and the way that You've watched over and taken care of us this day. And Father, we're thankful for the kindness that You've shown in this life. And Lord, as Jonah said, You are a merciful God. We thank You, Lord, for that mercy that's been extended, giving us life and breath and air that we might be able to live another day. Father, we thank You for the fact that this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And that, Lord, one day soon You're going to come back and take us out of this mess that we can go and live with Thee forever. We thank You, Lord, for that great hope and that great promise that we have. We thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that You've given us as an earnest of our inheritance, that, Lord, gives us a yearning and a longing to go home and live with Thee. But we realize, Lord, that until that day we have a job to do. Lord, You said that we're to occupy until You come. We're to be busy about Your service, and we pray that we would. Father, as we come to this service tonight, we pray and ask and beseech the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray that You'd remove from this building anything that's contrary to Thee, anything that's against Thee, and anything that would exalt itself against Thy Spirit. May it be put down. May this assembly be covered tonight, once again, in the blood of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Remove from our hearts, our minds, or our lives anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit, anything that would displease Thee or dissatisfy Thee. Get it out of this building tonight. We're tired of this world. We're tired of all that's in this world. Lord, we long to hear from heaven tonight. We long to know that You've been in this service tonight. We long to feel and sense and know the moving and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray that You'd be in this service tonight. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's never been saved, if there's one, Father, that's never experienced the saving grace of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that tonight, before they leave this building, tonight, before they walk out, Lord, they turn to Thee and trust Thee as their Savior. Be with Your children tonight. Bless them. Uphold them by Thy power. Strengthen them. Feed them from the Word of God. And speak to them and give them what they need tonight. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to preach the Word of God. And we pray tonight that You'd bless the message and lift up the name of Jesus, for it's in His name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Now, you know, we've looked at three of the greatest men in the Bible. Moses, when he was found in the book of Numbers, Elijah in the book of Kings, and Jonah, as found here in Jonah chapter 4. And even though these were three of what we might call the heroes of the faith, or the giants that were in the Bible, all three of these men came to a point in their life where they sat down at one place and either requested that the Lord kill them or that the Lord take their life and that they die. Now, what was it that would take such great men as Moses and Elijah and Jonah and put them to the point in their life where they would actually pray and ask God to kill them and ask the Lord to take them home? And tonight, I'd like to bring a message on the thing that beset them, or the thing that got them to the point where they were willing to ask the Lord to kill them, that is discouragement. I don't know about you, but I think everybody at some time or another in their life gets discouraged. Now, I don't know whether you've ever got discouraged to the point of Moses and Elijah where you ask the Lord to kill you and take you home. I've asked the Lord to take me home at times. Now, not out of discouragement, but out of pure joy. Amen. Sometimes I've got walking on the mountain, and I've got near a place where the milk and honey just begin to creep through, and I've said, Lord, it's enough. Take me on home, because I'd like to be with Thee. And I've been at points in my life where I've asked the Lord to take me home. I got so sick once I asked God to die. I said, Lord, I said, heaven has got to be a lot better than this. I said, I know that there's more in store for me than this. And I said, Lord, I wish that you'd just go ahead and take me home and that'd cure every sickness that I ever had. But you know, every one of us that are here tonight are not exempt from the thing that got Moses, from the thing that got Elijah, and from the thing that got Jonah, and that was discouragement in our life. You know, tonight, as we sit here in this church, there's a lot of people that ought to be in church that are not in church. And you know why? They got discouraged and they quit. When we look around us today, there's places that men are holding jobs. There's factories where there's working, where men that have been saved and called into full-time work, maybe to preach or do something for the Lord. But instead of doing something for God, and instead of living for God, they're not doing that. Why? Because they got discouraged. And you know, that's the way that the devil is going to seek to get a lot of you that are here tonight. The devil may not get some of us through smoking. He may not have opportunity to tempt us through drinking. And we may soon realize that dope is just meant for the people that the name it is given to. Dope, amen. Dopes take dope, amen. I mean, that's all there is to it. And the sooner we realize that, the better off this world will be. I mean, we may not be taken in by that, and there's a lot of things like that that do not appeal to you and me. Smoking doesn't appeal to me. Drinking doesn't appeal to me. Going out shooting a needle horse, cocaine horse, a little hash, left-handed cigarette, whatever it may be. None of those things appeal to me whatsoever. And the devil may not get you through some open sin like that, but I'll tell you what the devil can do. He can discourage you. He can rob you of the joy of your salvation, and he can defeat you to such a point through discouragement that you may not have to die, but you may be as well as good as dead for God's purpose because you sit down and got discouraged, got defeated, lost the joy of your salvation. You're just like old Jonah sitting under the juniper tree, no good to God whatsoever. God knows that some of us will not get off that way. The Lord knows that some of us will not get off through false doctrine. Some of us have been rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Some of us know what the truths are, and thank God we got led to the truth, and thank God we found the truth. Amen. I rejoice every day that somebody showed me the truth. I rejoice every day that I didn't get caught up in some kind of a cult or some kind of a movement that came along. I mean, I could have been a tonguer as well as a preacher, amen. I could have been jumping up and down, hollering, jibber-jabbering one thing or another. I could have been just acting silly like a lot of people I've seen act silly before, but the Lord showed me the truth. I mean, I could have been a JW knocking on your door, a Mormon, something like that. I could have been taken up in something, but praise the Lord, he led me to the truth, amen. I'm glad that God showed me what the truth is, and I don't believe there's anybody that's saved and born again to the Spirit of God that wants to know the truth. God will show you the truth. And you know, the Lord may not get it through some cult or some doctrine or some false thing that comes along, but you know how he'll get some of you? He'll discourage you and defeat you in your Christian life. This is one of the biggest tools that the devil has to use. Now, tonight I want to look at this for just a few minutes. Tonight I want to look at why some of these great men got in the position that they did. Why could a man like Moses get so discouraged that he asked God to kill him? Why could a man like Elijah be brought to the point in his life where he run from a woman after he had just killed nearly 900 prophets of Baal? Why could a man like Jonah, who had just seen a citywide revival campaign, that you talk about decisions. I wish he should have wrote that to the sword of the Lord. Amen. Man, he not only had people, but he had animals that repented in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, dogs walking around saying, you know, with their sackcloth on, repenting of their sin. I can't even get human beings to repent of their sin, much less a dog under conviction. Amen. I preached to some of them and tried to get them under conviction. Cats, dogs, whatever, but none of them have ever really shown much of a repentant attitude whatsoever. But Jonah went into that town and all the people repented. And he said, if everybody will repent from the king on down, man and beast, maybe God will stop. You know what? God did stop. God spared that city. Just a little bit, you know where he's at? Out under the tree saying, Lord, take my life. Now, why? What led to these things? Now, quickly, let's look at some things that brought on this discouragement in their life. Number one, they took some things on them that were not theirs to bear. They took some things on them that were not theirs to bear. These men were men who tried to accomplish something for God. These men were men who had dedicated their life and given him to God. These men were men whom God had called, as we would say, into full-time service. And these men were men who had given their life voluntarily for God that he might use them. And when a man gets like that, he wants to try to do all that he possibly can. I don't know about you, but after the Lord saved me and after the Lord called me to preach, I had a burning desire in my heart to do all I possibly could for him. I wanted to witness to everybody I could. I wanted to see everybody I could get saved. I wanted to pass out a tract every time I had an opportunity. I wanted to do all that I possibly could for him because God had called me into his service. And these men were like that. They wanted to do what they could for the Lord. They wanted to do what they could for God because they had surrendered their lives. They had given their lives to God. But they made a mistake when they took things on themselves that were not theirs to bear. Now, you know what Moses did? Moses got out there and he said, Lord, I've had it with this congregation. I mean, I've preached to them. I've tried to tell them. I've tried to teach them what's right. But he said, they're not doing what's right. And in Numbers chapter 11, they get talking about the mixed multitude that followed. They get talking about the onions, the garlics, the leeks, the cucumbers that were back in the other land. Would to God we were back there. The Lord got angry and Moses got angry. When they did, Moses talked to the Lord and he said, what am I, Father? He said, I haven't conceived this people. I haven't brought them out here to take care of them as a father. He said, I can't carry them all around. And you know what? He made the mistake that almost every Christian makes sometime in their life, taking something on you and trying to bear it and carry it when God did not ask you to do it. Trying to take more on you than you're able to carry when God didn't ask you to do it. You know what the Lord did later on? The Lord said, look here, Moses. I didn't ask you to take care of all these people. I didn't expect you to take care of all these people because there is no way that you could take care of all of them. He said, Moses, all I did was save you and call you to be their minister and their preacher. He said, you tell them what I've told you, and the responsibility is not on your shoulders, it's on mine. Too many times we try to take on ourselves something that God doesn't want us to bear. Too many times we try to carry around something that the Lord doesn't want us to carry. Now, you know what the Lord told Moses? He said, I'm going to give you some other people to help you. You know, this is one of the ministries that the Lord talks about in the book of Galatians. He said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He said, I'm going to appoint you some other judges and some people so that they, in verse 17, shall share the burden. Do you know what they're going to do? Help carry the load. And you know what? There is nobody in this building tonight that sometime or another doesn't need the help of some other Christian or some other human being in this life. But you know what's wrong with us? I'll tell you, and I'll speak real freely and real openly. We're hard-headed. Just about like the top of this preaching surface right here. You know what we are? We just hard-headed. Now, don't look at me like a tree full of owls. I don't imagine all of you are just real soft-headed in every aspect. I don't imagine you. I know me. I'm just as hard-headed as anybody you ever seen. And in a way, it's good. You get a hold of something, ain't nobody going to shake you loose. Amen? I mean, in a way, that's good. That has its goodness. But when it's carried too far, it's as bad as anything. Because we get to the point, I don't want no help. Get independent. And men, listen to me. You're some of the sorriest people when it comes to this that you've ever seen. Men are some of the hard-headed, most independent beings that are alive. Now, how about it, women? Amen? Every woman ought to be waving her hanky and shouting right now, amen? My wife was here. She'd probably go, amen. I mean, she'd probably get all excited about that because she knows I'm hard-headed. I'm independent. But you know what you got to have? Other people. We get a little bit of pride in our life. I can do it. I always have done it. Ain't nobody going to help me.
I mean, if I need help, that means I can't do it. That means somebody else can do something I can't do.
Exactly. Exactly. That's it. That's the idea. But we get too hard-headed. We get independent. We get rebellious. We get to the point in our life where we're just downright contrary. And you know, Moses got out there and he said, Lord, I cannot take care of all these people. God didn't intend for him to do it. He said, Lord, I didn't conceive them. God knew that. I can't carry them around and nurse them like you would a little baby. God knew that, and God didn't expect him to do it. God said, look here, I'm going to give you some other people to help you. And he said, more than that, Moses, he said, it seems that you've forgotten about me. Because he said, I'm the one that's going to take care of all these people. You know, when we get discouraged, I'll tell you when we get discouraged, when we take things on ourselves that we shouldn't take, that God has no intention for us trying to carry whatsoever. You know, the Bible said in 1 Peter, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The trouble with so many Christians, the reason they get discouraged and the reason they get defeated is they try to carry something themselves that the Lord never intended them to carry anyway. You know what he wants to do? He wants to carry your burdens for you. He wants to carry your burdens for you. And the trouble with most of us is we won't give him that opportunity. We won't let him carry the burdens that are laid upon us, but we try to carry them ourselves. Moses got into trouble when he tried to take the things on himself that he shouldn't have taken. The reason he got so defeated was because he thought he had to do it all. He had to do every bit of it. And God never intended him to do it all whatsoever. He said, Moses, I got some other people that'll help share the burden. And he said, not only that, Moses, he said, I haven't died yet. He said, I am still here. And the reason some of you tonight are so discouraged and so defeated, and the reason you've lost the joy of your salvation, has been 6 months since you had a holy smile on your face, is because you've been carrying something that God doesn't intend for you to carry. You worry over it. You fret over it. You get upset over it. You're about to have a nervous breakdown over it. You're about to go crazy about it because you have handled it. You have tried to figure it out. You have tried to work it out, and you can't do it. You're at the point like Moses. You say, Moses, you just lift your hands up and say, Lord, I just can't do it. The Lord said, looky here, brother. Looky here, sister. Looky here, daughter. Looky here, son. I didn't intend for you to carry it. Bring it to me, and I'll take care of it for you. One Sunday when I was in Lebanon, Ohio, I preached a message on Father's Day. I think we had 25 people. Boy, that's a big crowd. I tell you, I was excited, nervous. I was shaking, 25 people. One of the first times I ever went to preach, I preached to 3 people. That made me nervous. Amen. I was scared to death. 25 people, I thought the multitudes had flocked about me. You know, I read in the Bible where it said the multitudes flocked to hear Jesus. And I said, Lord, I said, here they are today, 25 that flocked to hear. And it was a Father's Day Sunday morning, and I knew that there was going to be a man in the service who was lost, never been saved. And I prepared my message and got ready, and I prepared just a few nice things for him along the way. Somebody said, well, you're not supposed to use the pulpit against anybody. Listen to me, bud, that's what it's for, is using, amen? And if you come, you're going to get shot at, amen? If you want to get shot at, put you some armor on, stand outside. You may not get blown completely away. But I knew he was coming. I knew he was lost. I figured God revealed that to me because he wanted me to preach at him. Amen? So he got there, and he's probably the only person lost in the building. And I preached to fathers. And, of course, the one essential thing of any father, was providing the spiritual need in that home. Man, I tell you, I came down on it. I said, if you don't provide the spiritual need, you're a rascal. I said, you can give them the nicest house to live in, the nicest clothes there are to wear. I said, you can feed them with the finest food that money has to buy. But I said, if you don't tell them about Jesus, if you don't show them about Jesus, if you don't bring them to church where they can hear about him, you don't read the Word of God, I said, you're a low-down scoundrel. And, you know, that's pretty pointed when he's about the only one that was there. I think he got the message to close the invitation. I just sang a few verses, and he didn't come. He wouldn't get saved. I prayed, everybody had prayed, we had prayed, he didn't get saved. And you know what, I went home that afternoon and I was discouraged. I really was. I said, now Lord, here this guy came. I said, everybody in the church knew he was coming. We've been praying that he'd get saved. I said, I tried to preach and prepare as best as I could. I tried to preach and I tried to see this fellow get saved. And I said, Lord, I did everything I could and the fellow wouldn't get saved. And I was discouraged. I mean, I was discouraged because I just figured for sure this guy was going to walk the aisle and get saved. And he didn't. And the next couple of days, I was discouraged. But a little bit later on, I kind of got over it. And 2 weeks later, on a Sunday night, this same fella came back. And I had a message ready, but I thought I'd shoot at him again while he was there. And then I decided I wouldn't. I said, I'd just go ahead and preach what the Lord told me to preach. And I preached it. And after the message, he came up. He said, Preacher, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. I said, all right. I figure we're going to have some mean words or something there, you know. And he sat down and he said, you know, I was here a couple Sundays ago. Do you remember me? I said, yeah, I think I remember you. I think I remember you coming in here. I remembered him. Yeah, all right. And he said, you know, I listened to that message. And he said, what you said was exactly right. And he said, I got home, and the more I sat there and think about that, the more I was right. So I got looking around my wife and children. He said, I realized that just what you said, I was a rascal and a scoundrel. And he said, I realized that if I didn't tell them about Jesus, I was neglecting the most important thing in their life. And he said, you know, that afternoon, I went in the bedroom alone, got out on my knees, and did what you told me to do. And he said, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he said, we live about 40 miles from here, but he said, I want you to know, last Sunday I got baptized in an independent Baptist church. I joined that church and said, me and my family have been going every week. And he said, I thought I'd just come by and tell you about it. Amen. He said, I thought it might be a blessing to you. Well, I started to have a shouting spell, amen. I mean, I really did, but I figured I didn't want to run him away too much. You know, I was already nutty enough. I didn't figure he wanted any more. But you know what this shows you? Do what God has told you to do. And don't try to take on yourself what God has to do. It's my job to plant. It's my job to water. But listen, only God can give the increase. And let me tell you, Christian, you'll never get more discouraged in your life than when you take on stuff that God doesn't want you to take. When you try to bear a load that God doesn't want you to bear. Now, they tried to take things on them that they shouldn't have. Not only that, they looked at the circumstances rather than looking at God. They looked at the circumstances rather than looking at God. Moses sat there in the wilderness, and these people had been getting fed with manna every day. They got tired of the manna that they had been getting, and they wanted a little bit of meat, some fish, and some things like they had back in Egypt. And when Moses looked around there, he looked and he realized he was in the wilderness. He wasn't in Canton, Ohio. He wasn't in Pensacola, Florida. There wasn't any Church's Chicken or Bob's or a smorgasbord or whatever you might have. None of those places were around. And when Moses got looking at that, he said, Lord, here am I in the middle of this wilderness. These people are crying out for fish, crying out for some of the things that I can't provide them. And he said, how in the world can I do it? You know what his problem was? He looked at the circumstances rather than looking at God. Let me tell you, one of the most discouraging things you'll do is to look at the circumstances around you rather than looking at God. The only way you and I can stay spiritually on top, doing what we ought to be for the Lord, is to keep looking at Him rather than look at the circumstances. Now listen, as a Christian, I've been in places where the circumstances were completely impossible. I've seen Christians in situations where, humanly speaking, it was impossible for the thing to ever work out. But you know what the Lord do? He take it and turn it around and work it out for His honor and glory. Not long ago, we had a couple down there at school. His wife gave birth to a couple of twins. I forget how much they weighed, a pound or something like that. And they were born premature. They were in intensive care. One of the little babies died, just lived a few hours. And you know what the doctor told them? The doctor just as much told them the other baby's going to die. Said it was little, too small. I mean, just the way that baby could live and that baby could survive. They called me up there to the hospital. I went in there and had to scrub and put on all these things and went back in there. I'll tell you, it's the littlest baby I ever seen. And there she was, little girl, about that long. I mean, about that long. Never seen nothing like it. And they were back there, and I came back in and prayed with them. And they said, Brother Jim, said we've lost one of them already. and said, it looks like the Lord may want to take this other one. And said, the doctors have given us no hope whatsoever for this one living. He said, matter of fact, the one that's alive was in worse health than the one that died. Said, the one that died, they thought, might make it. This was the one they gave no hope. But said, we want you to pray with us. Said, we want you to pray that if the Lord wants us to have it, he'll let us. But if the Lord doesn't want us to have this baby, he'll just take that baby on home to him. And said, Brother Jim, we want God's will, no matter what it is. And said, we know the doctors say that there's no hope, but said, we want to pray. We pray. Shed some tears. Things like that upset me. They bother me. I cry every time I get around a situation like that. When I see that little baby there, I just see one of my boys laying right there. I say, there's Jimmy, or there's Jeffy, or there's Jerry. I said, could have been them laying there dying. I said, I could be my baby. It could be my child. And for the grace of God, it could have been my child. And every time I get in a situation, it just tears me up. I mean, it does something down deep inside. And I left home, and I tell you, I went home, and I tell you, I got on my knees, and I said, Lord, I said, do a miracle. I said, perform a miracle. I said, do something the doctors can't understand. Do something the hospital can't understand. I said, I know every circumstance of life is against this baby. But I said, it and lost one, Lord, do a miracle and let that baby live. You know what that was? I guess nearly 2 years ago, the other day, I saw the little girl. Sunday, I saw her in church. You know what God did? God pays no attention to circumstances whatsoever. God is still God. Brothers and sisters, you want to get discouraged? Look at the circumstance around. Don't you know if David would have looked at the circumstances instead of looking at God, he might have got discouraged. Don't you know if David would have went down there to Goliath and looked at the circumstances that it might have been a little bit discouraging? You ever been in a fight? Have you ever been beat up? It ain't no fun, amen. Us short guys, we had to get all kinds of equalizers when we were in action. I mean, big guys, you know, they just come out of here, and you had to get things that could help you in case of a necessity. And I mean, you had to have ways or either be fast. And I never could run fast, so I had to find ways to do something. But you know, David going out there, a little boy, and here's a giant, a man of war with his whole army behind him. But you know why David won? Because he didn't look at the circumstances. He looked at God. He didn't pay any attention to the things that were there. What the Lord told Moses, he said, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is it? No. He said, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass to thee or not. We get discouraged when we look at the circumstances rather than looking at God. Not only that, we get discouraged when we become preoccupied with ourselves. You know what happened to all these men? I'll tell you what happened to every one of them. You listen to what I'm going to say. They got preoccupied with their self. You know what Moses did? All Moses could think about was himself. Do you remember what we read there? He said, I can't do this, Lord. I didn't conceive these, Lord. I didn't take care of these people. He didn't look at anybody else. He didn't look at God. He didn't look at anybody else. He just sat down and he got thinking about little old me. You know what happened to Elijah? He ran out there. He sat down. You know what he got thinking about? Me. You know what happened to Jonah? Went out under the juniper tree. You know who he's thinking about? Me. Let me tell you, one of the best ways there is to get discouraged is just to sit down and become preoccupied with yourself. Just sit down there, think about yourself. Pity yourself. Boo-hoo about yourself. Look at how bad you've got it. And let me tell you, it'll discourage you as quick as anything ever discouraged you. What you want to do is get your mind off yourself. Get your mind off of you. That's why so many people, have you ever seen people like that? You ever been around people like that? I've been around them. You go and they're defeated and they're discouraged. You know what it is? I, me. You know what it is? They've sat down and become preoccupied with their self. And that's why it's always good to stay busy doing something. It's always good to stay active doing something. Because when you become preoccupied with yourself, you will get discouraged. Now, what you need to do is go out and see somebody that's got it worse than you've got it. What you need to do is get your mind off of yourself and get out with somebody else that's got some real problems and some real troubles. And then you won't have so much time to think about yourself. You that are healthy, you know what you need to do? Go to the hospital and see somebody got some real trouble. You've got some healthy children. What you need to do is go to see somebody got some kind of deformed children, a mongoloid children, or children that died, or children that are not going to live. See? The trouble is, you sit down there and you think about me, 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 and the devil turns your thoughts on yourself and he magnifies your problems. And the first thing that happens is you're so preoccupied with yourself, you can't think about anybody else or anything else. You know, a woman one time came to Jack Hiles and told him, she said, "I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown." And Jack Hiles said, most women he knows have either just had one, or are going through one, or are planning on having one real soon. Now, I don't know how true that is. I don't know. I know some things about women, one thing and another, but I know some men just about as bad a worry warts as some women I've seen. But I know that worry and nerves can be a real problem. And she came to him, and he said, "I'm sorry for you." And she sat down and began to talk. You know what it was for 30 minutes? "I did this. I've got that. I did. He quickly seen, being the wise man that is, that she was just all occupied with herself. And she said, "Preacher, what can I do to get help?" She's waiting for some verse of scripture, some, you know, pulling out a theology book or something like that, or LaHaye's book on depression is over with mine or something, you know, some real wild thing. It'll just, you know, classify her and what group she was exactly in, you know, whether she was depressive or what her problem exactly was. And he said, "I'll tell you what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to go buy a dozen flowers." And he said, "I want you to go to the hospital, and I want you one at a time to go into somebody's room where nobody's visiting, give the flower to that person, and stand there and talk to them for 5 minutes. And he said, "When you get that done with that, go buy a dozen more flowers." And he said, "Go down here to the county nursing home and go in there where nobody's visiting with some of those older people." And he said, "Give that flower out one at a time and spend 5 minutes with each person." And then he said, "I want you to go home and bake a cake and think of the poorest family you know of with the most children and take that cake to that home and spend 30 minutes with that family." She looked at him like he was nuts. I mean, she looked at him like she ought to be counseling him instead of her counseling by him. And you know, she went out and did exactly what he said. He saw her the next Sunday. She just waved in the hall and said, "Preacher, I've called my nervous breakdown off for a while." Now, you know what happened? She went to the hospital and she'd seen 12 people that had a real problem. She saw 12 people that had some real trouble. She went to the county nursing home and visited 12 older people who had nobody to love them and care for them. She saw 12 people who really needed somebody. She took that cake and went to a poor home and seen some people who didn't have the necessities of life. You know what she did? She got her mind off herself. And when she did, she got victory. These men became preoccupied with herself. But not only that, these men could not understand God's way. Now, you know, sometimes this is some of the most discouraging things that a preacher gets into a lot of times. You can't understand God's way. Now, some of it we can know. Some of it we can get a hold of, and some we can, but some we can't. Now, old Jonah, he got on a ship. He's going to take off. Lord got a hold of him, done prepared a fish, and got down there and said, "Fish, I want you to go fishing." He said, "I've never been fishing before." He said, "Well, I want you to go today." And he said, "Well, what do you want me to eat?" He said, "I got a preacher I want you to consume." And said, "How in the world are we going to get him?" He said, "They're going to throw him over in the water to you." And this whale said, "Never had nothing like that, but let's get on with it." Amen. Now, that's not exactly what happened, but that's the idea. Amen. I know one thing. The animals have more sense than man. They obey God. Amen. Lord tells that bird, said, "You better go south, getting cold." He's gone, amen. Tells that fish, said, "Going upstream, lay eggs." He don't have no problem. She's gone, man. I mean, she's just going. And the Lord sent the whale over there, and he said, "Here comes this preacher getting ready to get him." And he got him.
And when he did, he got him down, took him in the belly, took him there 3 days and three nights. Said, that's enough, spit him out. Said, I don't like him anyway. Took him over on the shore and spit him out. When by the time Jonah had been down there for a while, he did a little praying. Things had got right. He hit the ground running and said, Lord, I'm ready. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do it. He said, all right, go down there to them Gentiles, Nineveh. And he said, preach. He said, what do you want me to preach? He said, nothing fancy. Ain't no homiletics to it, bud. Just go down there and tell them, turn or burn. Amen. I mean, that's all there is to it, bud. Get right or get out, one or the other. I mean, that's all there is. He said, go down there and tell them if they don't repent, I'm going to destroy the town. That's it. I mean, get right. Boy, that's all there was to it. He just said, go down there and tell them to repent. If I don't, I'm going to destroy them all. Jonah said, bud, I don't even have to go to school to learn that message. He said, turn me loose. He went down there. They gave the service that morning. Jonah got up and he said, here's a message. Repent. And if you don't repent, God's going to destroy you. And, you know, the Lord was merciful, just like Jonah said. And God was gracious, just like Jonah said. But you know what happened? The Lord did not destroy that place. And you know what happened? The Lord spared them. They repented. And after they repented, the Lord was merciful enough to spare the city that he had preached in. And you know what happened to Jonah? Look what it says there in verse 1. Jonah 4:1. It displeased him. It was made him very wroth. And you know why? It made him look like an idiot. That's right. I mean, he went down there and he said, God's going to destroy this town. The Lord didn't destroy it. He blessed it. You know what happened to Jonah? He said, well, I'll tell you what. I thought that it ought to go this way. And it didn't. And he said, I thought you were going to let me call down some fire out of heaven and smite these heathen people and kill them. But you know what? It didn't happen. And because Jonah did not understand God's way, he got completely discouraged. Made him mad. And he went down there. Now listen, the Lord's way is a way that sometimes we'll not be able to understand. The Bible said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the old timers used to say, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. The Lord moves sometimes in ways that we can't understand. But don't get discouraged. Don't get mad. And don't get upset and quit. Because His ways are above ours. And whatever the Lord does, it's always right and it's always good. You know what Simon Peter got mad about? Because he didn't get to fight. I mean, he thought he ought to have a head rolling party. I mean, he ought to thought he had, you know, a few arms to cut off or something. And he got all mad. You know why? He got offended. He got upset. He got upset because the Lord didn't do what he thought he was going to do. And that's what got him off. Don't you know that Joseph in his life must have gotten discouraged? I mean, here the Lord revealed this dream to him that all his brothers and him are going to bow down to him. And the next thing he turns around, he's sold as a slave into Egypt. Second in power in the kingdom. And all of his brothers come and bow down before him, just like the Lord told him. He didn't understand God's way. Jonah didn't understand it. And he got discouraged. Last of all, one of the reasons we get discouraged is because we don't believe that God can work in our circumstances. We get discouraged because we don't think God can do something in our situation. Christians get to the point where they think that their situation is peculiar and unique. Everybody has got a problem that nobody else ever had before. I mean, I've talked to a lot of Christians. Brother Jim, nobody has ever been through what I'm going through. If you're a gambling man, don't put a lot of money on it. Because the Bible said there hath no temptation taken man, but such is common. See, it's all common. And it may not be exactly all the same details, but the circumstance and the situation you're going through, somebody at some time has been through it before, and God
has brought them through and given them the victory. You know why Moses got discouraged? Because he didn't think God could work, and he would work, in his situation. You know why Elijah got discouraged? Because he didn't think God was going to take care of him. Jonah got discouraged for the same reason. They got discouraged because they didn't think God could work in their certain situation. Now listen, Christian. If you're saved, and if you know the Lord, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. It's still there. Now, I know the New King James may have pulled it out. I haven't looked at it yet. I wouldn't waste 5 seconds to look at it. And yes, it would be to pick it up and compare it and tell you where the faults and mistakes are in it. But in my book, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. And you know what, Christian? It's still in the book. And you know what? God is still alive. And if that book is true and God is still alive, He can work in your situation. Daniel got what you might call into a trying situation. I mean, have you ever been in a den of lions to spend the night? I've been in some churches that were pretty rough. But there may have been a few sheep there scattered amongst the congregation. But I mean, let down into a literal den of lions to spend the night. And you know what he did? He just went over in the corner and grabbed one by the tail and jerked him around, fluffed up his mane, said, lay down because I want to use you for a pillow. Reached over and grabbed two more and had him come lean up right against him and keep him warm. You say, you think that really happened? Well, I can't prove it, but it sounds good to me. Amen. I mean, the Bible said they didn't even touch him. I didn't have the master over him. As soon as they let those other people down that accused him, they ate them up and had the master over him before they ever hit the ground. I know one thing. He slept down there all night and nothing happened to him. I know one thing. He was sleeping and resting in the den of lions, and the king sitting on the throne couldn't shut his eyes. I know one thing. God pays no attention to the circumstance that you're in. I know three Hebrew children that had one trying experience in their life. Had a situation where they went into this place called a fiery furnace. A furnace that was on fire. The Bible said they came out without even the smell of smoke on them. That's more than you can say for a lot of Baptists I've been around. Amen. You could smell them before you could see them. Thank you. You're welcome. It won't cost you a dime extra. Amen. But you know what the Lord did? The Lord delivered them. I saw a whole nation come to a sea called the Red Sea. And I saw an army behind them that Pharaoh was leading. And I saw a man stand there named Moses with a rod and said, Lord, what are we going to do? And he said, go forward. And he said, Lord, I see this thing called a sea in front of me. And he said, if you want to go forward, you've got to do something. The Lord said, get that rod, lift it up. And when he did, the waters parted. And listen, God not only parted the waters, but he made a freeway through the bottom of it. Amen. I mean, two miracles performed there, if you please. Amen. Did you ever try to walk across the bottom of an ocean? Mucky, muddy, mess. But the Lord parted it, and then he made a road. Amen. Read your Bible. You'll find out something new every day. Amen. But you know what the Lord did? He took care of them. Their circumstance was no different. They say, years ago, that the devil one time had an auction. And he sold all the tools that he had used in his ministry. Of course, the story is not true, but it illustrates what I'm saying. And he had all the different tools and devices that he had used, but he had one tool that had a sign on it, not for sale. And when somebody came to him and asked him why it wasn't for sale, he said, that's the one tool that I'll hang on to, but I'll give all the others up. He said, with that tool, I can ruin more people than with any other tool I've got. When they lifted it up, it had but one word on it, and that was the word discouragement. The Lord may not get you through some open or evil sin. The devil may not get you through some false doctrine or some heresy. And I'll tell you what he can do. He can discourage you. He can knock you so low that you want to quit reading your Bible. You want to quit coming to church. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you get to the place where you've lost your joy, You no longer enjoy the things of God, enjoy the Word of God, and enjoy God's people. The devil has got you right where he wants you. Now listen, you say, it can't happen to me. Moses, Elijah, and Jonah. Three of the greatest men in this book. And they got so discouraged that they asked God to kill them. Don't let the same thing happen to you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. There's a poem that says, do you ever get discouraged as you press your upward path? Do you feel that you have failed him and have merited his wrath? Do you fear that you have stumbled, lost the very best God hath? For you wanted to reign with him, and you felt his coming near, and you longed for his approval when at judgment you appear. And you know how Israel doubted, and your heart is filled with fear. Listen, thou, for Christ is speaking words of comfort unto you. Grace abundantly he proffers, grace sent down from heaven's blue. He will help you if you'll let him, and will surely see you through. Discouragement, a tool that the devil has used on many a Christian and will use again and again. They got discouraged because they took things on them that were not theirs to bear. They got discouraged because they looked at the circumstances rather than looking at God. They got discouraged because they came preoccupied with themselves. They got discouraged because they didn't understand God's way, because they did not believe that God could work in their own situation. Some of you tonight, you're discouraged. Some of you defeated. Some of you once had a shout and you got it no longer. Some of you once had joy and you got it no longer. You know why? Because you got discouraged. Listen, maybe you tried to take on some things that you shouldn't take. Maybe you've looked at the circumstances rather than looking at the Lord. Maybe you've just sat down and become so preoccupied with yourself and your problems. Maybe you don't think God can work in your situation. But beloved, have no doubt about it. The devil is going to seek to discourage you as much as he can. Because if he can discourage you enough into getting you to quit, then he's got you right where he wants you. Don't give him the pleasure. Don't give him that opportunity. If you're discouraged and defeated, what you need to do is come and pray. Examine your heart and your life and analyze your situation in the light of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and say, God, help me. Why am I so discouraged? And if you've lost that joy that you once had, you need to get out of this altar and pray and cry out as David did, Lord, restore, return unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, Father, tonight, I know the message that I've preached is true because I've experienced it in my own life. Lord, there's been times in my life when I've been so discouraged. And there's been times, Lord, when I felt like quitting. And there's been times, Lord, when I could say, what's the use? But Lord, I'm glad that you give me the grace to go on. I'm glad that you've seen fit to raise me up. I'm glad that you've seen fit to give me a spiritual boot to push me along the way. And Lord, I pray that you'd help your children tonight. Some of them, Lord, have no joy. They've let the devil use the tool of discouragement to knock them down. They no longer love reading the Bible. They no longer enjoy hearing the Word of God. They no longer enjoy the songs of Zion. They've lost the zeal that they had. Father, may they realize it. May they see that one of the things I've mentioned tonight is that reason. Help them, Lord. See, they don't have to bear all these burdens, Lord, but you came to bear them. Help them to see and to realize tonight that they need to look to you rather than the circumstance. And Lord, they can't sit and be preoccupied with themselves. Lord, what they need to do is realize that you can and you will work in their situation. Bless the Word of God, the message, Lord, that you've laid on my heart for tonight. Speak to those hearts, those people that are here. May they be honest with you and themselves. And Lord, if there's one here tonight without Jesus Christ that's never been saved, may tonight be their night of salvation. May they be saved. Bless your children. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.